From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. I have a very special guest on with me right now. I don't really do these types of interviews very often, but there is a yogurt shop in my hometown in Snohomish, Washington, which is where I was. I wasn't born there, but I was raised there. And now my family and I, myself and my wife and my kids, we still live up in that area. We were walking down the street one day in Snohomish. And as most people know who might listen to the show, or if you've lived in Washington for any length of time, Snohomish is really known for antique shops. And there's a lot of antiques that you can go and see. Not super fun for kids, but adults love it. Like when I was a kid, walking through the antique shops with my parents, I couldn't have been more bored to death. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to go spend a few hours antiquing? So life does change for sure. But I was walking down, this must have been last summer, I think. I was walking down the main street there with my wife and kids, just out and about doing some stuff. And I see a window up ahead, and it is beautifully decorated. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? It really grabbed my attention, like really grabbed my eye. My wife was like, whoa, what is that? Because the art on the front of this window is phenomenal, like world class, really, really good. And it's done in that kind of, I'm going to ask the guy what it's done. I don't know anything about art, so I'm going to ask him what it's all about. It was a yogurt shop, and it wasn't just like a normal yogurt shop. This was a fully on decorated yogurt shop. And it's really, really cool. All the pictures were changing as we kept watching it, and we would visit it and we'd go. The pictures on the windows would change monthly. The decorations inside, it was over the top. And the name of the yogurt shop, if you're interested in checking this out, because they have outdone themselves now. And this is not an ad. I was just so enchanted by this shop. I wanted to share it with you, my listeners, because if you're looking for something to do with your family and you like yogurt like we do, then this is the perfect marriage for something like that. So the name of the shop is called Toppit Yogurt Shop. It's in Snohomish. It's on Main Street. The owner I have with me right now, he's the co-owner, he's the baker. He's also a creator and artist, super interesting guy. His name is Ken Coleman. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
So I want to just kind of give the audience a little background into how you and I met. I was telling the story about how I came into your shop just by happenstance. I did not know anything about it. I get into your shop and your eyes are just kind of dancing around the room because there was all this really beautiful artwork. And are you the artist? Do you have that painted, or are you the artist yourself?
No, I am the artist. I could not afford to pay somebody to to do the art on my windows, so I do it myself.
Yeah, no kidding. It really is like amazing work. And do you have a background in art? And what, I mean, just have a million questions. So like, number one, what kind of art is that called when you're drawing? Is that like, is it done in oils? Is it done in like how do you do that on a window?
So it's acrylic paint markers that I use.
Markers, okay.
I don't have, paint markers, because my background is really pencil sketch, colored pencils. I've never really done much with painting. But I can't really draw, pencil sketches on my windows. So
it wouldn't grab the attention, I don't think, quite as much. A 15-foot tall pencil sketch. And when I say like art, with the cool thing that you really have done, and it's like geared towards kids, and kids are like, it really, kids get so excited, and adults, obviously, I get really excited about it. The art that you do is from like, you've done like just some of the things that I'm trying to remember in my head that I've come into the shop. You have like a Harry Potter time, and my kids love Harry Potter, and I still love Harry Potter movies because I'm just like an old, it was perfect for my age. We watched it growing up, and then now we watch it with our kids. Way too old to watch it, but we still watch it. So you had like all the Harry Potter decorations on the window and like an amazing depiction of the school on the front window. And all this other artwork. How long does something like that take?
It takes about 2 weeks to do the windows.
And are you doing these at night when Snohomish is just a ghost town and there's nobody out?
I do. Yeah. I usually start about 3 o'clock in the morning and I paint until about 10:30, 11. Or later, depending on how busy the store gets.
Yeah. It's so cool because we've seen the Harry Potter ones, which is really neat. We've seen, I think you did a superhero one with maybe some Marvel characters. We saw
Avengers.
The Avengers. We saw a Disney one where there is just all these like Disney princess castles, decorations everywhere, including the, what's the castle? Is it the Snow White castle that you had on the front window?
It was Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. Okay. And the
I loved that one.
It was so amazing. And the way that you're able to capture the stained glass from those Sleeping Beauty windows, was, I mean, has anybody else contacted you about this? I felt like I was stumbling upon this super well-known secret. Like, what's been the reaction from people who walk by?
The reaction's been really heartwarming. People are just touched, I think, by good art and by being surprised by, you know, just walking down and seeing something new and interesting.
Yeah.
And, no one has like contacted me for like a story or anything like that.
Until now.
And that's fine. I'm just glad that people appreciate the work and enjoy it.
And one of the ones that really grabbed my fit, because I have three little boys, was when you did Star Wars. And not only, the other cool thing is that people are probably not understanding, and we're going to get to what the shop looks like right now, because it's just kind of mind-blowing what you've done to the inside of the store. You're not just decorating all of the exterior windows, and anybody who's ever been to downtown Snohomish knows, like, all the architecture and all the buildings are really old in Snohomish. So you have these really great, beautiful windows that kind of like pop out of the building. So they're just, I mean, they're perfectly designed for something like this. And I imagine probably back in the day when, I don't know what that shop used to be, was it like a drugstore or something? They probably also did window designs as a way to advertise their business and get people in the door. And now you're bringing back this thing that you just don't see anymore. You just don't see people put that kind of effort into the windows. But again, I digress. The one that got my attention was when you did Star Wars. So we see the Star Wars stuff and it's fantastic. And I think there might've been like a dreadnought or something on the main window. And you have like two massive windows. So you have these really big canvases basically to draw like a whole space fight scene. Just like you couldn't look enough at it while you're in there eating yogurt. You just don't have enough time. There's so much to see.
Yeah, that one I had envisioned as being like standing on the bridge of a Star Destroyer.
That's what it looked like.
Watching like the Battle of Endor.
Yeah. And that's what it looked like. But then once you get inside, and this is the thing that my kids really loved, once you get inside, you had decorated almost like when you go to Disneyland, how when you really look at the little details at Disneyland, all the little details are letting you know and reminding you you're at Disneyland. Like, it's not just a coat hook that somebody could put something on. You have like fastened, or a light switch. You've actually like purchased, I assume you get these things on Amazon or something, but you've purchased like even the light switches all had like some little R2-D2 effect to them. And you had
it. Cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you had like a giant stand up of Chewbacca in the middle of the store greeting all the, you know, the yogurt shoppers. And, you know, he's 9 feet tall. And so all the kids are sitting there like going up and saying hi to Chewbacca. And just little stuff like that. You've renamed all the yogurts. You have different yogurt flavors that are all like, you know, space themed related. And that must
and
take
in Bocce.
What's that?
And in Bocce. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
English,
and you're even
and the Bocce.
In the correct language for the movies, which is just above and beyond. That must take an incredible amount of time.
Yeah, it did. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
All right. So the way that you have your shop set up now is Titanic. And how can you describe a little bit? And I'm going to post pictures. So if anybody's interested in this, they can actually check this out on mynorthwest.com. Just go to the Cairo Knights page. I'm going to post all these pictures. The gallery will be beautiful. You're just going to be so excited what you're seeing. What does the inside of your shop look like right now?
So when you go inside the store, let me start with the windows. So the windows are all the first class smoking room stained glass. From the Titanic.
From the Titanic. Yeah.
So, yeah. I wanted people to feel like they were on board the ship as much as possible. So all the windows are as though you're inside the ship, first class.
Unbelievable.
Everyone's first class at Topic. And then on the wall, and our ceilings are 14 feet high, on the wall is a full-size reproduction of the largest part of the Titanic that they've ever recovered. And it's called the Big Piece. And the real one is down in Las Vegas. And I got to see it just before the pandemic. And it's there at the Luxor in this kind of permanent Titanic exhibit that they have down there.
And it was a true piece. I didn't realize they had that. They recovered a true piece of the Titanic. And this is the biggest part. And it looks like one of the side pieces of the ship with the portholes and everything. Is that right?
It is, yeah. It is, yeah. And it's 13 and a half feet tall and about 26 feet long.
Which is massive, and you recreated that entire thing in your shop.
Well, I built it in my barn, and then I took it apart and reassembled it, yeah.
Yeah, but it looks exactly true to life, like a real chunk of the Titanic. So we walk in the other night. My wife and I were out. We had dropped the kids off at my parents'. We had a little date night. And we walk in, and I'm like, first, what drew me in was the stained glass windows. They were phenomenal. And you have a little sign out front that lets people know what you're looking at. And the sign was like, these are the first class cabin windows that you would have seen if you were on board the Titanic, which of course none of us can be now. So this is the best recreation you can get. So then we walk inside and there is, I mean, literally you're just dwarfed by this 14, 15 foot high wall, 26 feet long piece of the boat that you have somehow managed to squeeze through your door and to get into the shop. It's really, it is so fun. I mean, like, I really hope that people get a chance to check this out because it really is, it is transporting. And you're just eating yogurt as you're sitting there watching it. It feels like it's way above and beyond what you would get in a normal yogurt shop.
Yeah, it's an experience. It's not just yogurt. But we do have, I think, the best frozen yogurt or soft serve that a person can get anywhere.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. It's great. But beyond that, they're also getting a full-on, like, immersive experience.
They are. They are. And I don't think that you know this yet, but there are still two more portholes to put into that big piece, and they are being made by the grandson of the man that made the original portholes for the Titanic.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not. No, and he's using the same casts that his grandfather used 115 years ago.
How on earth did you track that guy down?
I found the name of the company that made the original portholes, and I just Googled it, and come to find out they're still in business. And it's his grandson that now runs it. And they have this contact us, you know, link like most websites do. And
sure.
He called me and we had a couple of really good conversations. And he gave me, I told him what I was doing. So he gave me the blueprints to make these portholes on my own. But finally, I was just like, Tom, would you be willing to make these for me?
Is he in Scotland? Because wasn't the original boat built in either Ireland or Scotland? Where was it built?
It was built in Ireland, in Belfast. And
is this company still in Ireland?
So the company that made the portholes is down in Southampton, England.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So they made them down there and shipped them up to Belfast for installation. And, but he agreed. He's willing to make them. And so they're about 4 weeks out from being delivered, those two portholes. Plus, they made a replica of the bell from the crow's nest for me, from the same molds that they used as well.
And so those are they actually built the original bells on the crow's nest, the infamous bells that were supposed to warn the boat, the captain down below, that there was an iceberg dead ahead.
Yes. You'll be able to ring that bell when you come into the shop.
Like a legitimate Titanic crow's nest bell, the same one that they would have rung when they were trying to alert the captain down below. We all see in the movie Titanic.
Yes.
That is so cool. Oh my gosh, Ken, you're like living my dream, being able to put all this stuff together. That's fascinating. Where did this
all live in my dream?
I think it's so cool. People need to check the shop out. Like I cannot sing your praises enough. And we don't have any endorsement deals. You don't give me anything. I am just a fan of your shop. In fact, like I think you and I just came in a bunch of times with my kids because I was like, oh, let's go get yogurt because I want to see what the windows look like now and, you know, flip an R2-D2 switch or whatever. And you and I just got to chatting because you were at the shop at the time and you were working and you were talking to all the customers and you're so nice to answer questions just like you're doing for me now because people are interested in what they're seeing. And it's not a giant shop. Like, we're not talking about a shop that's the size of a giant McDonald's or something. It's an intimate, cool little shop. It's got a weird shape to it. I think people are going to enjoy their experience there. But you and I were just kind of chatting. And then I think maybe on like my fourth or fifth visit after you and I had chatted, I was like, you know, I actually host a radio show and I would love to share your story with as many people as can hear it because I think it's just so cool. Just a cool thing for them to do with families.
That's very kind of you.
And it's
nice to have you and your family in the shop.
Well, yes, thank you. We're happy to be there. What's the best part of this for you? Is it the process of building all these things? Is it dreaming these crazy things up, or what is it for you? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
You know, the best part for me is making a place where individuals and families can come and really enjoy their time together. And it's not just kind of the food that we get whenever we go out and eat, although that's important, you know, the environment and how we're treated, that really matter. And so my wife, she kind of started this. Angie, she started it really with decorating for different holidays. And I enjoyed that. She enjoyed that. Our guests enjoyed it. And then Halloween 2022, I guess it was, came around. And I took that one on myself because I didn't want to decorate with like ghosts and skeletons. I'm just not.
Just the same old things that everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, let's do Harry Potter. Let's just decorate Harry Potter. And so we went big with Harry Potter, and people enjoyed it so much. They had so much fun with it. I was like, boy, why don't we always do something like this? Because it's just fun. And so that's really what started it. And just making it an experience that people enjoy. And they're surprised by how much fun they can have when they're just coming out for a treat. It makes it better for people.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that must have been the Harry Potter than when we stumbled upon the shop. That must have been it when we were looking at that big, you know, depiction of Hogwarts, and we just had to go inside and see what this was all about. You know, and it is true too what you were saying. It is a unique experience with your family, which I am always looking for. There's so many things that you can do with your kids these days where they're just like, you know, I'm surprised at the number of businesses that put screens in their shops now. And you just go like, well, the point of this is not so I can come in and watch shows with my kids. What's cool about your shop is you go in there and you have something to look at. The kids are pointing at things. The adults are pointing at things. You're like, it's a shared experience. Everybody's enjoying themselves. And, you know, I could talk about this forever. I know we got to go, but people should check it out. Again, it's called Toppit Yogurt Shop. It's in Snohomish. It's at the end of Main Street. Even if you're driving from a good distance, it's worth the trip. So check it out. Ken, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing this with us. And thank you for all this beautiful artwork you're putting up there.
Oh, you're very kind. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. We got a lot more coming up on the show. If you want to see any of this artwork, Ken is going to be sharing a bunch of these pictures with me that he's taken over the years that he's been doing this. And I'm going to post these on mynorthwest.com so you guys can check them out there. It's really cool. You're going to love it. All right. We got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. All right, I want to tell you guys this story. We saw this earlier in the day. I was so disappointed to see this. I feel like I have three sons. I've told you guys this many times. I have three sons. I have another son who's going to be born in 2 months. We're super excited to have four boys. It's going to be very loud. Obviously, when you have kids, you're not thinking to yourself, I'm going to end up with all the same type of kid. We're thrilled. Couldn't be more thrilled. But little boys are very loud. And little boys, sometimes when they're trying to impress their friends and when they're trying to impress their brothers, they do crazy things. So I understand, and I grew up with brothers. I understand the dynamic that is at play with young adolescents. I totally get it. I'm seeing it every day with my own kids. I experienced it myself. So I'm sympathetic to young men, young boys who make mistakes. So when I see this story popping up constantly, time and time and time again, I feel bad for these kids. And of course, I'm talking about the Kia boys. Listen to this headline. It's on mynorthwest.com. You guys can check the story out there. Kia boys allegedly execute a crime spree in South King County. These Kia boys are getting bad.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
All right, so listen to this. The police did come for them this time. A lot of times we see these Kia boys stories, and kind of the story ends up being, well, it's kids who are doing these Kia boy challenges, which were made famous. If you guys haven't heard Kia boys, it is a term that is used to describe generally juvenile young guys who are teenagers oftentimes who are following this online TikTok trend, which kind of swept the internet, teaching people how to very simply, with almost no tools or skills, steal cars. Kias and Hyundais are particularly vulnerable to this. And so they called themselves the Kia Boys in the video. And then the name just, you know, it's a catchy name. Catchy names tend to stick. So all these Kias and all these Hyundais started getting stolen in all of these big giant cities all around the country. So what was happening was these young guys, they watch this video. They're like, oh, that looks kind of fun. We're bored. Why don't we go try that? And in some of these larger cities, like in Seattle, in King County, you don't often see young people who are paying consequences for bad things that they're doing. And so they get it into their head. They get this idea that, oh, you know what? This is all fun and games. Nobody's going to get hurt. It's not a big deal. Unfortunately, the opposite is true. It's not fun and games. It's very dangerous. People can easily get hurt. And if they catch these guys, they will pay a price. And so we saw that happen. Listen to this. You can read about this on MyNorthWest.com. We've got some great audio here for you. Renton Police Department officers chased down. Listen how young these kids are. This is so scary. These kids are not much older than my kids. Renton Police Department officers chased down a 14 and 16-year-old, but are still looking for two other teen suspects who were 14 and 15, and what they said was a crime spree in South King County. Officers were alerted to the incident Tuesday afternoon when two boys, ages 8 and 10, called 911 saying that they were threatened with a gun by a passenger in a red sedan near Edmonds. That is so scary. An 8 and a 10-year-old calling 911. That is, those kids, you know, whoever was pointing that gun, I don't care what age you are, you need to be locked up. Somebody needs to deal with that kid. Later that afternoon, the article continues, a Renton resident reported a red Hyundai Sonata had been stolen. Then police were alerted to a similar car driving erratically along Lake Washington Boulevard. They located the car after a search by the King County Sheriff's Office Guardian 1 helicopter. So that's where we can pick this story up for you with some audio. We have video footage. This is obviously an audio medium, radio, so I don't have video for you. But this is audio footage that was taken from Guardian 1. You can also hear that they're on the radio with other police officers in the Renton Police Department. There's also dispatch chiming in there from time to time. So we're getting the whole story. We're like listening to this police chase happen. And as it's happening, if you watch this video, you're seeing these sheriff's deputies cornering this red Hyundai Sonata, which is running and at times is driving, you know, way over the speed limit. They duck into Westfield South Center and try to hide in the mall. Now, listen to this. This is the sound from the Guardian 1, and you hear some other deputies talking as well.
They're continuing westbound.
And just blew a red light up or not. I am not in pursuit. And blew the light at Logan as well.
And just turned in oncoming traffic here, Oaksdale and 43rd.
We're coming up on a few businesses here, about 65 miles per hour.
921, what kind of car am I right there?
It's a red Hyundai Sonata, it's a Victor. Backseat passenger is armed.
And Guardian 1, they're pulling into South Center Mall now at Baker and Andover West. And Guardian 1, they're bailing at the mall. One just ran westbound into the parking lot. Another ran, south into the parking garage. Another ran north towards the mall.
They're all running into the mall right now into Montezuma's. I got three of them.
Trevor 30, we have this guy detained. It's still a K-9 advised to match the description of one of the ones that bailed from the car. So two detained total, two outstanding.
So these teens, you can see they're in the video, they're driving erratically. They're dodging in and out of cars. And at some point, they realize they must have known that this helicopter was following them because they drive underneath what looks like kind of a walkway bridge that was connecting the parking garage to the Westfield Center. And then they all dart out of the car and they scatter in different directions. Some of them run to the mall. Another one runs into the parking garage. I believe that was one of the teens at the time when this happened earlier today. That was one of the teens who was arrested. They had a K-9 unit out there. Just really scary stuff. And according to you heard the dispatch there, one of them was reported to have had a gun in the back seat. This is really like happening way too much. It's happening way too much. Detectives say that they found a large amount of stolen marijuana products in the vehicle, and authorities called the shop and learned that it was a robbery. So, it may be connected to this pot shop robbery. This has got to stop. If there's any teenagers out there listening, or there's any parents who have teenagers, I hate to do this to you guys. I mean, I play this clip a lot in jest, but I am serious about this. I have sons of my own, and I can tell you that I know that teenagers make stupid decisions. I know that particularly boys do really dumb things sometimes, but somebody needs to step in who are an adult in these kids' lives, and they need to set them straight because this is a one-way ticket to a very, very bad place. I'm going to play this clip of Prison Mike, which is kind of funny, and I have to do it because I feel like I'm a dad who's having to, be the disciplinarian here. Somebody's got to do it. And so I'm going to try to do it through Prison Mike. But in real life, these teenagers need to be accounted for with their parents. Their parents need to deal with these problems. And if you have young kids out there, use these kids as an example, as a cautionary tale. Don't let your kids end up like this. These kids are going, they're on a very bad road, literally. But here's Prison Mike. I hate to bring him out every time one of these things happens, but here he is.
Prison stinks, but I am here to scare you straight. I am here to scare you straight! In prison, you are somebody's bitch. Oh, and you, my friend, would be the belle of the ball. Don't drop the soap. Don't drop the soap. The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they'd come down, and they'd suck the soul out of your body, and it hurt. I hope that this scared you. I just want to thank you for listening to me and letting me be a part of your life today, because you got a good life. You got a good life.
So at the time of the story that we were reporting on it, at the time of this story was written, and it looks like still today, this is the most recent update, two of them have been arrested, and two are still on the loose. So it's just a matter of time. Obviously, those kids are going to be found. They're going to have to go home at some point. Somebody's going to turn them in. That's just how these things work. This is bad news for those teens because you know what? You do got a good life. Just like Prison Mike says, you can turn it around. I believe in you. It's going to take some hard work and you're going to have to pay for this crime, clearly. But there's sunshine on the other side of this dark time that you're in. All right, we got more coming up on the show, so stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It is the final segment of the night. I hope you guys have enjoyed this show as much as we have. We've had a lot of great stuff on the show tonight. I love talking to that yogurt guy. You guys really got to go check out those pictures at mynorthwest.com. See those amazing pieces of art that this guy has put on his window, in front of his shop, around his shop, all the stuff. It's really, really cool. And I hope you get a chance to check it out. It is it's this yogurt shop. It's called Top It Yogurt Shop. It's up in Snohomish. You guys need to check it out. All right. Before we leave you for the night, I like to share this story. This is out of England, and it has to do with the Titanic. You guys know that song, obviously. That's Celine Dion, the famous song from Titanic, My Heart Will Go On. All right, so in Titanic, there is a very, very famous scene. It's like, I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but it's the final scene between Jack and Rose. They are in the water. Rose is floating on the door. Jack can't fit on the door with her. This has actually gone on to... People have been debating this endlessly since this movie came out in 1997, which is ridiculous. It's a really long time for people to debate something from a fictional movie. But Rose is on the door, and the idea is that Jack can't get on the door because if they both get on it at the same time, they'll both be underwater, and then they'll both freeze. So Jack stays off the door. Rose is laying on the door, and she sees that Jack has frozen, and she says she'll never let go. Immediately after that, she lets go and he sinks and he dies. Coincidentally, I was looking into this a little bit. When the human body gets really, really cold, and this is not the story we're telling here, but this is kind of interesting. When it gets really, really cold, you can survive for a long time in almost a frozen state. You're still technically alive, although your body has almost been frozen. There was a story of a girl, and I think this was back in Minnesota. She got locked out of her house at night. She was out there in the freezing cold all night. And when they found her the next day, her body, they said, was like you had like a frozen piece of meat. And they took her to the hospital and they thawed her and she was preserved and she lived. And it took her about a year to get full functionality back, but she ended up surviving. Now, could this have happened with Jack and Rose? Well, no, technically, because they were just actors in 1997. But who knows? I don't know. I don't want Rose to carry that kind of guilt for the rest of her life. Did she kill Jack? Did she not kill Jack? I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. What I can tell you is the door, the prop door that they were laying on, has just sold at an auction. Listen to this. This is from The Guardian. Ever since the release of Titanic in 1997, debate has raged over whether the piece of wood, which keeps Kate Winslet's Rose out of the icy waters, could in fact have also accommodated her lover Jack, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. One lucky theorist can now test their hypothesis as the piece of prop balsa wood has sold at auction for, you guys are not going to believe the price of this thing, but I guess it's such an iconic piece of movie prop history that, I don't know, maybe it justifies the price. $718,000. The door, which the auction notes reveals was in fact part of the door frame above the ship's first class lounge entrance, is clung on to by the central couple as the ship sinks. This is all from the Guardian article. But in their attempts to clamor to save relative safety, they realize there's only one space for one person, so Jack sacrifices his life for Rose. In 2022, director James Cameron attempted to quash speculation over whether Jack's death was unnecessary by conducting a scientific study to put the whole thing to rest. Cameron concluded by invoking less scientific rationale. Jack needed to die. It's like Romeo and Juliet. It's a movie about love and sacrifice and mortality. The love is measured by the sacrifice. But listen to this. There were some other things that were for sale at this auction. It wasn't just the door. So there were other key auction items at this heritage auction. Winslet's dress from the Titanic finale was $125,000. Indiana Jones bullwhip, which would be really cool to get from the Temple of Doom, sold for $525,000. Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, $125,000. Bill Murray's red rose bowling ball from Kingpin, that'd be really cool. $350,000, I'm surprised by that. That's really expensive. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 3 bodysuit, I don't know if that's worth $125,000, but somebody paid that for it. The can of shaving cream used by Wayne Knight to smuggle out dinosaur embryos in Jurassic Park sold for $250,000. That's actually really cool. And again, I know it's just a, prop can of shaving cream. I would rather have that than Tobey Maguire's bat suit, I think. And Carrie Fisher's blaster in Return of the Jedi sold her up for $150,000. But that door, again, $700,000 plus, $720,000 for that door? Pretty amazing. All right. That's it for us for the night. I hope you guys have had a great time. We've had a great time bringing you the show. We're working on a great show for Friday, so tune in to us tomorrow. But for tonight, that's it. You got to go home. I don't care what you got to do. You got to go do something. Go back to your family. Go to sleep. Why don't you? And just meet us back here tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do. Night-night.